Would you please pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in your presence and worshiping you in spirit and truth this morning. And we ask now, as we turn our attention to your word, that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to the words you want to speak to us, and that our response might be pleasing to you. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? That's the question that God's people are asking in Psalm 78 that we read today. Both this psalm and our reading from Nehemiah, both of them are recounting God's faithful provision in the wilderness, even in the face of the people's rebellion, their stiff-necked grumbling against God. And both Nehemiah and the psalm are recounting how God has been so faithful. Even in the midst of the people's grumbling and rebellion, he's been faithful to provide, to give, to care for his beloved ones. So both the psalm and Nehemiah are retelling this story in order to highlight the character of God for their own time. To say, as then, even so now. As God provided back then, he will even now. As he was gracious back then, he will be so now. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so both the psalmist and Nehemiah are speaking to a context where God's people are asking again, can God prepare a table in this wilderness? So I want to examine that question for a minute for us before we turn to our gospel reading to see how Jesus answers it. So the question is, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And there are two different angles on this that I think we see. The first and most obvious level in the psalm, Psalm 78, is scoffing. This is a scoffing question. That Psalm 78:20 says that they said this in order to speak out against God. They spoke against him in rebellion, built on pride and spiritual self-reliance. Can God prepare a table in this wilderness? They did not believe that God could come through for them. They wanted to make their own way. They were testing him in their hearts and through their actions, demanding what was clearly an impossibility, at least from what they could see. They're out in this desolate place, a whole nation, no food, no water. And they had this skepticism that morphed into pride and spiritual self-reliance. Who is going to provide for us? God? Thinking that they know better. But also underlying the scoffing is an anxiety. Asking this is a real question. Can God do this? Will God do this? Can I trust that God will take care of me? That he'll provide for me? The Israelites in the desert are hungry. They're going to starve if they don't get any food. And they're not sure how they're possibly going to make it out here in the wilderness. So even as they scoff, and even as they speak out against God in their pride, there's an anxiety there. How are we going to make it? And I think this question speaks to our anxieties and our skepticisms that sometimes turn into pride and self-reliance. When we have those times of wilderness wanderings, the seasons of life where we're not sure how things are going to turn out, where the anxiety of not knowing if and how we're going to make it feels overwhelming. The scriptures talk about these seasons of wilderness as seasons of depression, of discouragement, seasons of grief or confusion. And we ask, can God prepare a table in this wilderness? Can God provide for me, take care of me? Maybe you're feeling that kind of anxiety. Or maybe your anxiety has hardened into skepticism and even scoffing. You think God is going to take care of us? Yeah, right. God helps those who help themselves, we might cope and try to do it ourselves. But let's look at how Jesus responds to this heart cry and this question, and how he does, in fact, prepare a table for us. So would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 in our gospel reading? This story that's called the Feeding of the 5,000, but isn't very accurate as a title, as we'll get to. Matthew chapter 14, we're starting at verse 13. It begins with Jesus going out into a desolate place, a wilderness. And why is he going out there? Because he's grieving. He has just heard about the death of John the Baptist, his cousin and his forerunner, the one who was preparing the way for Jesus' messianic ministry. And he needs to get away from the crowds. He needs to go mourn. He needs that solitude, time with his heavenly Father, to grieve his cousin. So he goes out into the wilderness, the desolate place. But looking for solitude, he finds none, because crowds have followed him into that wilderness. And what does Jesus do? Not what I would have done. I would have said, don't you people know that I need to grieve? I need to be alone. Go away. This is me time. Fortunately, Jesus is better than that. He has compassion on them. He heals their sick. He teaches them. He ministers them. He loves them where they are. Even when he's interrupted, even when his solitude is taken away, the word compassion that's used here means to suffer with. Jesus suffers with these people. He enters into their pain, their hurts, the hungers of their souls and the cries of their hearts, and he ministers to them there. Notice how Matthew, the gospel writer, is explicit in telling us not only what Jesus does, but how he's feeling in that moment. He feels compassion. Even when he was interrupted, even when his agenda was thwarted, he feels compassion for these crowds. Do you know that you are never an interruption to Jesus? He never looks on you as an inconvenience or an annoyance. Even when you grumble and complain against him, even when you rebel against him, even when you allow your anxieties to speak louder than his voice, he still gives. He still loves. He has compassion for you. He loves you and delights in you. So he welcomes these crowds with compassion. And then what does he do? He feeds them. He certainly didn't need to do any of that. He didn't need to have compassion on them. He didn't need to minister to them, to heal them. And he certainly didn't need to feed them at the end of a long day out in a desolate place. But this is the character of God showing forth in Jesus. He gives and he gives and he gives still more because this is who he is. The God of abundant generosity, infinite compassion, who comes to meet his people where they are. The disciples point out they're out in a desolate place. The day is over and the people are hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus with a solution. Send them away. Let them go fend for themselves to the villages and go buy their own food. This is a pretty good solution because the disciples of Jesus were no dummies. They they could do basic math, and the calculations weren't adding up nicely. You know, thousands and thousands of people plus wilderness desolation plus no food equals a bad time. That was their calculus. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. And the disciples look at what they have, only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and their question is reasonable. How? How can we prepare a table here in this wilderness? Can even God prepare a table here in this desolate wilderness? Jesus says, watch me. And so he multiplies miraculously these meager provisions they had and fed abundantly the thousands of people who were there. The text says that there were about 5,000 men and also the women and children. So we're probably talking more like 10 to 15,000 people here. 10 to 15,000 stomachs to feed. And Jesus satisfies them all. This is an extraordinary miracle. Maybe we've heard it too many times to fully appreciate it. But this is like a creation-level event where Jesus is making something out of nothing. He takes one small lunch and feeds thousands and thousands of people. And there were leftovers, 12 baskets full of this food. So we see the miraculous power and the abundant generosity of God on display here. They all ate and were satisfied, it says. Jesus only ever gives the best, like the wine at the wedding at Cana. And he made sure no one was left hungry. Everyone was satisfied. Because he provides for every need. He answers every anxiety. He rebuffs every scoffing and shows himself abundant in generosity and compassion. The character of God. He gives and he gives and he gives still more. Have you ever seen God provide for you or make a way where there was no way, where he set a table in your wilderness? When I was in college, I had a season where I was completely broke as a college student. I'd emptied my bank account to pay for the fall semester. I hadn't yet gotten paid for the work I did over the summer, and I think I had about $12 in my bank account. And then I got into a car accident. It was a fender bender, nothing serious, no one was hurt, but it was my fault. I rear-ended someone. So I got a citation, a ticket for $130. And now $130 isn't a huge deal in the grand scheme of things until you have literally nothing. And this was the kind of ticket that if you don't pay it before this date, they can come and arrest you for it. So I was 20 years old, and I was freaking out. I did not know what I was going to do. My parents weren't in a position to help. All my friends were also poor college students, and I could see no way to fix this. And so I prayed. I got on my knees, and I asked God for help to make a way where there seemed to be no way, to provide for me in this wilderness. And within a couple of days of that prayer, I had lunch with my campus pastor. This was the minister who was over the Christian college that I was at. This had been pre-planned when all this happened, before all this happened. And so when we got there, he could see that I was very anxious and worried. And he asked me what was going on, and I just unburdened myself and told him all that it was and how I was freaking out about this. And his response was, $130, you said? Here. He pulls $130 cash out of his wallet right then and hands it to me. And he says, I know you're good for it. Just pay me back whenever you can. No worries. And this was God directly answering my prayer through this man. And what else is there to say but thank you? Like, I don't deserve this, but thank you. Receive it with humility. My summer paycheck came in soon after that, and I paid him back right away. That was the first thing I did. But this was an important lesson for me about God's provision and timing, that he can make a way. He can prepare a table in the wilderness. Maybe your wilderness is financial insecurity. Or maybe it's relational. Maybe your wilderness is your employment situation. Or maybe it's just a spiritual malaise or depression or grief. Can God make a table in this wilderness? And I want to proclaim to us today that yes, He can. Yes, He can. We see here the heart of Jesus, the one who can and does prepare a table in the wilderness for us. But He goes even farther than taking care of material needs. He wants to give us Himself. Look at how He prepares this table. Verse 19, He says, "Then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds." He took, He blessed, He broke, He gave. Where else do we see those 4 words in that order throughout the Gospels? At the Last Supper, Holy Communion. We talked about that a few months ago in Luke 24, also using those 4 words. So in this miracle, Jesus is prefiguring the Eucharist, Holy Communion, and He's showing us something even deeper than bread and fish here. Because this table He's setting out is not one of just material provision, where He's just handing out dinner. He's giving Himself. So not only does Jesus meet people who interrupt His solitude with compassion, not only does He feed them and meets their physical needs, He goes even farther and gives of Him His very self. The bread of heaven for the life of the world. Jesus says in John's Gospel after this feeding of the 5,000, He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. Whoever feeds on this bread will have eternal life." Jesus is not one who only provides. He satisfies the deepest needs of our souls. Forgiveness of our sins. Reconciliation with God. Eternal and abundant life that comes to us even now. He is the well that will never run dry. He is the fountain of life that will satisfy the weary soul, the bread of heaven that was broken for you. Everything else that we try to turn to satisfy us, that hunger for our souls, everything else will fail us. Things like sex and money and comfort, status, entertainment. All of these things might satisfy for a short time, but they will not meet our deepest needs. They will fail us. Because our souls are hungry, longing for what only Jesus can provide. What does St. Augustine say? "You have made us for Yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in You." Our hearts, our souls were made for the Lord. And only He can satisfy. Only He can provide abundantly what we truly need, because He is the one that we were made for. And He graciously gives Himself to us. Even as He did back then, even so now. Even so today. He gives Himself to us. So this miracle isn't just about Jesus being able to feed you when you are hungry. It isn't just about him being able to take care of material needs, which he can when we ask. But it's about the one who has compassion on you, giving himself fully to you to satisfy you into eternity. So, brothers and sisters, he has prepared a table for you. He gives himself to you. More and more and more he gives. He does not hold back as he gives all of himself to you. So come and feast. Put aside your skepticisms. Put aside your spiritual self-reliance and pride. Bring to him your anxieties and fears. And come to the table that he has prepared. And be satisfied. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.